Coming to you from the mountains and the plain, the only conservative voices brave enough to push back. This is the Conservative Daily Podcast with Joe Altman.
That's what the Second Amendment was designed to do. If you're going to do something to nullify or take away my rights under the Constitution, come get it.
Max McGuire.
When you look at politicians on the left, they need to convince people that they are victims.
A resistance to the resistance. And now your hosts, Joe Altman and Max McGuire.
And welcome back to another edition of the Conservative Daily Podcast. My name is Max McGuire. As the intro just said, Joe Altman is out today. It's just going to be me. He has some meetings related to what he's getting involved with the affidavit he signed, different lawyers. So there's lots of things going on behind the scenes with the election, with the Stop the Steal push. So he's out. It's just me today. But we have a lot to talk about. We do have a call-in number, 888-441-1121. A couple people tried to call yesterday, and we just couldn't get time to them. We couldn't have the time to get to them. We had too much to talk about. But today we should have time. So make sure that you call in 888-441-1121 if you want to talk about something that we're discussing. Before we get into the bulk of it today, which is, as you see the title, that the cowards in Michigan decide to cave and certify the results in Wayne County. Before we get to that, I want to basically give credit to the American healthcare industry, doctors, nurses, all of the hospitals and everything, because they accomplished something that this year that no one ever would have thought would be possible. Let's go ahead and put up image one. This is new data according to the World Health Organization. As you can see, it appears that this year the United States has eradicated influenza. You look at that graph, influenza stopped existing in the 14th week of this year. So congratulations to our healthcare industry, all of the frontline workers, doctors, labs, technicians, everything. You have eradicated the influenza virus for the first time in human history. Now, that actually isn't true, obviously, and this is straight from the World Health Organization. This is not entirely true. Let's go ahead and put up image number two. This is what the graph should look like. Obviously, you expect a spike during the winter months, winter weeks, and then you expect it kind of to go down. But even still, over the rest of the year, this is 2015, 2016 numbers, you still expect to see a pretty flat number of cases. So that's what the graph should have looked like. Let's go back to image one. But as you can see, they just stopped counting in the foot. It looks like they tried to stop counting in the 13th week of the year, and someone didn't get the memo and decided to file a couple of cases in the 14th week of the year. But yeah, now, so it's kind of tongue in cheek. They didn't actually eradicate the influenza virus this year. They've just stopped studying it, stopped recording it. And as the CDC and the WHO admit, using kind of the influenza tracker to instead quantify the number of COVID cases. Basically, they're mischaracterizing influenza cases as COVID cases, which is something we've known for a while. And that latest data from the WHO shows it. I had to make sure I had a WHO source so we don't get taken down by Facebook. And again, of course, disclaimer, make sure you listen to your local and state and federal health officials. So that's kind of the tongue-in-cheek bit. But the main part of today that we have to talk about is what they've discovered in Michigan. Let's go ahead and put up image three. What they discovered was that in 70% of the precincts in Detroit, they had irregularities. And what we saw last night, we'll get to in a second, Democrat officials, instead of trying to rectify and clean those irregularities, decided to instead dox the children of the GOP members of the Board of Canvassers to pressure them to certify results that they knew were not legitimate. So we can go ahead and take that off the screen. I want to explain what this means, right? There's 143 some odd precincts that they use to quantify absentee ballots in Detroit. And what the Board of Canvassers, the Wayne County Board of Canvassers, what they found was that in roughly 70% of all of those precincts, the poll books showing how many voters voted did not match up to number of votes cast. Now, that's a huge red flag. Now, if it was one or two that didn't line up, fine, right? But for 70% of them to have irregularities, discrepancies that show a different number of people voted versus the number of actual ballots cast, that's a huge red flag. So the two GOP members of the Board of Canvassers in Wayne County said, listen, this is too serious, too much going on, too many allegations. We cannot in good conscience certify it. They didn't say that they would never certify it. They simply said that they couldn't certify it now and that these discrepancies had to be rectified, had to be explained away. And listen, it's entirely possible they could explain them away. It's entirely possible they could get poll workers to come forward and say, oops, actually, I forgot to list this. I forgot to put this down. That explains it. That's entirely possible. And that happens. Their mistakes are made. But what we saw from the left yesterday was not an honest attempt to rectify mistakes. What we saw was the leftist mob, the Democrat mob, come for these two Republicans, to come for them hard. So we're going to play a couple of videos. The amazing thing about this is they had a public comment period. So the Wayne County Board of Canvassers is split. Two Democrats, two Republicans. And when the two Republicans refused to certify the results, that basically meant they were deadlocked. It meant that the vote was not going to be certified. The election results in Wayne County, which is the seat of Detroit, where Detroit is, that those results would not be certified. So leftists freaked out. They started flooding the meeting with angry Democrat organizers, even elected officials, as we'll see, who then proceeded to threaten the Republicans on the board of canvassers, threaten their children, as we're about to see, told everyone where they live. I mean, this is really, really disgusting stuff. And in the end, the canvassers caved. The Republican canvassers caved and agreed to certify results that they knew in their heart of hearts were not legitimate. So we're going to play some of these clips, and it's not doxing everyone. Everyone's saying, oh, you're going to take them down because you're doxing. It's not doxing because these people appeared on a public broadcast. This was publicly broadcast from Wayne County. So it's not doxing, and they made news by openly and unapologetically threatening Republican canvassers. So this first gentleman's name is Ned Stabler. He's making the news because he was possibly the angriest and the most threatening of the bunch. So let's listen to what he had to say. Let's play cut one.
We also know that the Secretary of State and the Attorney General have already tweeted out that your legal arguments are rubbish and you're going to lose when it comes to court. So we're not worried about that at all. I'm also not worried about any of your, oh, things are bad so we can't certify arguments, because that's just ridiculous. You certified in August when they were worse. Less than 50% of the ballots were recountable. Now over 72% are. 58% of them were even balanced when it was less than 30% last time. So it's doubled. It's gotten way better because the Secretary of State actually jumped in and did her job.
Let's pause right there. So we're going to keep playing it, but I want to make sure you understand what he just said. He just said that only 70% of the ballots are recountable. What does that mean? So if you're going to recount of it, if you're going to do a recount, you go back and you make sure that everything matches up. You make sure that they're real ballots. And the way you do that is by proving that the ballots have a legitimate person behind them. So if there are discrepancies in the logbooks that show a different number of ballots were cast than the number of voters who were basically registered in, then that throws that entire precinct, that throws all of those into doubt. And you wouldn't be able to recount them until you figured it out. So by his own admission, this guy, Ned Stabler, admits that up, 28 to 30% of the absentee ballots would not be recountable because of these discrepancies. But he says, listen, it's no big deal because it's twice as good as it was in the primary. He said it was even worse in the primary and you agreed to certify it then. So you certified the fraud back then. How dare you step back and refuse to certify half as many discrepancies. I wanted to make sure that I called attention to that. And make sure, everyone, you hit that share button on Facebook. Make sure you give us a thumbs up. Make sure you like the video. Make sure you comment on YouTube. Make sure you give us a thumbs up. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. Make sure you hit the bell for notifications and comment as well. We're going to keep playing that. I just wanted to jump in there real quick and laugh because his whole argument is we have the number of unrecountable, irreconcilable ballots is half as bad as it was in the primary. How dare you? Let's go ahead and keep playing.
Unlike you, but I know it's not going to change your opinion. You talked about not certifying Detroit, even though you acknowledged that Livonia, a city, by the way, I know you know is 95% white, had bigger variances than Detroit, which is 80% black. We understand, and you've now added your name. So I'm not going to try to change your mind. I just want to let you know that the Trump stink, the stain of racism that you, William Hartman, and Monica Palmer have just covered yourself in is going to follow you throughout history. Your grandchildren are going to think of you like Bull Connor or George Wallace. Monica Palmer and William Hartman will forever be known in southeastern Michigan as two racists who did something so unprecedented that they disenfranchised hundreds of thousands of black voters in the city of Detroit because they were ordered to. Probably, I know, Monica, you think Q told you to do it or some other crazy stuff like that. But just know when you try to sleep tonight that millions of people around the world now on Twitter know the name Monica Palmer and William Hartman as two people completely racist and without an understanding of what integrity means or a shred of human decency. You, the law isn't on your side. History won't be on your side. Your conscience will not be on your side. And Lord knows, when you go to meet your maker, your soul is going to be very, very warm.
Whoa! That's what Democrats call healing the nation. That's what Joe Biden calls the battle to restore the soul of the nation. That's what Democrats refer to as come together, kumbaya, let's put it all behind us and reunite as a nation. Wow. Saying that their souls will be condemned, saying that that future generations will look at them as the Bull Connors, the racists, the segregationists. But it gets worse. It gets worse. Yeah, that's one of the worst ones of that we're going to share. But it does get a little bit, at least a little bit worse. This next guy, his name, I want to make sure I get this right because he deserves recognition. Abraham Ayash. He is a Michigan State representative elect. So he hasn't been sworn in yet, but he won his race unopposed in Wayne County. And he has some choice words to say too. And listen to what he thinks is important to bring into the conversation. He discusses the one GOP canvassers' child and where they go to school. Let's go ahead and play cut two.
And what that tells us is you, Miss Monica Palmer from Grosse Pointe Woods, which has a history of racism, are deciding to enable and continue to perpetuate the racist history of this country. And I want you to think about what that means for your kids who probably go to Grosse Pointe North. And when they see all their black classmates and they know that.
Ooh, so that is a Michigan State representative elect using his time at the microphone to make sure that everyone knows what school her children go to. You don't do that out of peace and love. That is known as doxing, right? That is taking someone who is not in the public eye and spreading information that people wouldn't otherwise know in an attempt to intimidate or threaten them or just to hurt them, right? This guy is an elected official. He will be sworn in. And he's using his time at the mic to let everyone know where her kids go to school. So they ended up certifying it. Should Congress certify? Absolutely not. But this county, apparently, the County Board of Canvassers agreed to certify it after all this. But we're not done. We got more. CNN proudly decided to cut up a montage of a couple of the other people who were on the line. Let's go ahead and play CNN's montage. This is cut three.
We will be working in the courts and in the streets to make sure that this injustice is overturned, the people's voice is heard, and that these voices are counted. What's happening here today is an absolute travesty against democracy.
History will not look kindly upon what it is that you all are doing. I think that is incredibly important. That's been emphasized a number of times today.
If you believe in a God, just know that he is not pleased and you will have to pay for this unjust act.
You will have to pay for this unjust act. How dare you? How dare you refuse to certify results that cannot be recounted? How dare you refuse to certify results that there are so many discrepancies that roughly 30% wouldn't survive a recount? How dare you? Don't you realize that this district is 80% black? How dare you, sir? How dare you? That's what they were dealing with yesterday. But it gets worse. It gets worse. Here's one person say that they're coming for their heads. Let's play cut four.
I want to say I'm pissed right now because you, Palmer, are already unethical. You have no integrity. And you, Hartman, you're unethical and you have women issues because you have been silencing women. And I am tired. I've been silenced 3 times. First, being born as a Black woman. Secondly, my vote that you guys did not just certify has been silenced. And thirdly, I've been silenced by you, Hartman. I've been silenced by you. I don't appreciate it. I don't like it. Okay? We are going to come for y'all heads. You guys are not right. You are unethical.
We're going to come for y'all heads. And just as a point of fact, she says she was silenced when she was born. I guarantee she cried when she was born. And if she didn't cry, she's old enough that the procedure in the hospital would have been to smack the hell out of her until she started crying. So I guarantee that she was not silenced when she was born. If she didn't cry, they would have beat the hell out of her. Not jokingly, it would have smacked the baby to try and get them to cry. And just another point of fact, she says she's been silenced 3 times in her life. The last two were the same instance. She says she was being silenced by the vote and then silenced by them. She actually combined one action into 2 silencings. But she's coming for y'all heads. Coming for y'all heads. That's peace. That's come together. That's the battle to restore the soul of the nation, isn't it, Joe Biden? But we have more. We have more. Here's one saying that, don't worry, it's the elected officials who will remember the people. You'll remember us when all this is done. Let's play cut 5.
Forget how low you were willing to go. Monica Palmer, who again is not here, and you, William Hartman, the people know your name, we know your record, and we will be sure that it is you who remembers us.
It is you who remembers us. We will be sure it is you who remembers us. That is what it looks like, folks, when the country comes together. That's what it looks like when the country comes together. And can we talk just for a second? that one right before her, the angrier African-American woman, who said, you're coming for y'all heads. She said that he's anti-women. And she invented this out of thin air. Why? Because he offends her. That means he's anti-women. I mean, this is crazy, right? This is crazy. So we have threats. We have doxing, telling people where they live. People were posting the addresses on Twitter and they weren't getting immediately taken down, right? Threatening the children, saying we're coming for your heads. Saying history will remember you as the worst racist in American history, the equivalent of sheriffs who used to sick angry hungry dogs on Black people for fun. I mean, that's what was happening there. That's what was happening there. So what happened as a result? The GOP on the board of canvassers, the two Republicans who, they said it before I said it, but listen, they're elected officials. We can say their names. Monica Palmer and William Hartman. The two Republicans on the Wayne County Board of Canvassers, they, after being threatened by this angry mob and knowing in the back of their head that if they didn't go along with the mob, that mob was going to come to their house, come to their kids' school, right? They went along with it. They certified it. They said they wanted to certify it, but only if the state agreed to audit the results. But this is classic GOP fashion, folks. In classic GOP fashion, they didn't actually make the certification contingent on the audit. They made them 2 separate votes. So they voted on a non-binding resolution requesting an audit, and then they apparently voted to certify it. Now, there's some discrepancy over whether they actually agreed to on whether or not they actually agreed to sign the paperwork. We know that they held the vote and they voted to certify it. Some people, including the President of the United States, Donald Trump, are saying that they didn't actually sign the certification paperwork. Democrats are saying it doesn't matter. They held the voice votes. That's good enough. Just think about this. There are discrepancies in 70% of the precincts that would result in 30%, roughly 28 to 30% of the vote, probably getting thrown out on a recount because you can't actually prove that they were cast by legitimate people. And instead of actually going through and fixing discrepancies, they threaten the person's children. So now the Board of Canvassers has certified it. The state has said, we will take your request under advisement and we will consider a recount. But the state was quick to mention that there was no requirement that an audit be done before it would be certified. The GOP didn't demand it. I'm going to post a link in the comment section on YouTube and Facebook. This is if you want to join our campaign today to put pressure on Congress, put pressure on Congress. Actually, hold on. Let me edit that. Edit. If you want to put pressure on Congress to stop this steal, if you want to put pressure on Congress to stop the steal and stop them from certifying these fraudulent results, go to the link. I just put it in the description on Facebook. I'll put it momentarily on YouTube as well. And join our campaign and send a fax blast to Congress demanding that they refuse to certify these results. Because how can anyone in their right mind say that this is legitimate if the only way they could certify it at the county level was for a mob of activists to threaten their children? How can anyone possibly say that these are legitimate? And I want to talk about this for a second. Let's talk about cyberbullying. Let's talk about cyberbullying for a second. Mr. Producer, go ahead and put up my screen. This is Michigan's law related, I believe, to cyberbullying. Let me go ahead and make this bigger. Here we go. Let me find the part. So you're not allowed to post a message or statement in a public media forum about any other person who is less than 18 years of age if all of the following apply. And then it talks about intentionally misleading. You're like, they could basically interpret it to be intimidating, frightened, or harassing, cause emotional distress. So that elected official, when he went on these public on that public forum and declared for everyone to hear where the Republican canvasser, Michelle Palmer, where her daughter went to school, that runs afoul of the cyberbullying because he used a public forum to intimidate or cause emotional distress to someone under the age of 18. Yeah, it's crazy, but it's illegal. Very much illegal. Let's go to the next one. Posting messages through electronic mediums. A person shall not post a message through the use of any medium of communication, including internet or a computer, computer program, computer system, computer network, or other electronic medium of communication without the victim's consent if all of the following apply. And then it kind of goes through all the different ways that it could be considered crime by intimidation, by terrorizing, frightening, right? To make the victim feel terrorized, frightened, intimidated, threatened, harassed, or molested. So this guy's an elected official. Again, seemingly violating another section of Michigan law as it relates to using electronic mediums to terrorize people. That's what was going on. That whole thing was terrorizing them. That woman, he said, "We're coming for y'all heads." That absolutely is an attempt to terrorize, right? Conduct arising from posting the message that causes the victim to suffer emotional distress and to feel terrorized, frightened, intimidated, threatened, harassed, or molested. It's clear as day. It's so criminal. It's happening right in front of us. But no, CNN says they're patriots. Give me a break. CNN says they are patriots. Huh. Interesting. Interesting how that works, huh? So now it goes to the state board of canvassers. And we're going to have to see if the GOP holds the line. Now, listen, I can understand why Republicans would cave. Listen, they're threatening your children. I can understand why you would be terrified of the mob coming and breaking down your door, right? And lynching you. That's what was going on. That was the precursor to that. I mean, they're saying that they are some of the worst racists in American history. Do you really think that mob's going to stop on Zoom and not going to bring this terrorizing into real life? Of course not. So I can understand why the GOPers on that board would cave. But at the same time, I can't. Got to hold the line. Too much is at stake in this country to just bow down and cave, right? Joe is dealing with threats to his life. He's moving his family so people can't get to them, right? Lots of people around the country right now, people involved in the affidavits, involved in lawsuits, they are taking steps to make sure their family is safe so they can keep fighting. So as much as I sympathize with Michelle Palmer and William Hartman, as much as I sympathize with them, no, you got to keep fighting. It's too important just to bow down, to keel over, and vote to certify results that you know to be at worst fraudulent and at best misrepresented in the actual paperwork. Because again, it's possible that these are honest mistakes in the paperwork. It is. It's possible. but you can't certify it. Like, the fact that they were threatened doesn't change the fact that these results cannot be certified. The votes could not be recounted during a recount. They would not survive a recount. Luckily for the Democrats, the margin, the margin as a result of fraud is too big, too wide to recount, so they don't have to recount. So it won't survive the recount, but lucky for them, they don't have to because they were able to stuff the ballot box enough. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. So now the question is, will the state board of canvassers, will they go along with this? Will they be intimidated? Will the state legislature in Michigan allow this to happen? Knowing that fraudulent votes have been certified in Wayne County because the board of canvassers were personally threatened? Will the state legislature go along with this? Listen, if Joe Biden won legitimately, then he'll be the 46th president. But if you're Joe Biden, you want this to be proven. You want all these allegations, all these allegations to be kind of pushed away, all these discrepancies to be explained, all these irregularities to be rectified. You want that. You don't want to go in to become the 46th president knowing that the only reason Wayne County, again, the county where Detroit is in, the only reason they were certified is because your angry mob of supporters, the ones you claim are going to help unify the nation, were threatening the children of the canvassers? You don't want that. And without Detroit, Joe Biden does not win Michigan. It just doesn't happen. You would want it to be legitimate. Kind of like if you work for Dominion Voting Systems, like a man named Eric Coomer, kind of like you would want there to be a recount. Because if there's a recount, then that gives you the opportunity to prove to the world how accurate your software and your hardware is. But as we've covered on the show, Eric Coomer, the pro-Antifa executive at Dominion Voting Systems, who allegedly, as Joe has now sworn an affidavit, told other Antifa people on a call, don't worry, he's made sure of it that Trump won't win. It's incredible. Brandon, bye-bye, Brandon. Brandon is a troll. Says I'm hanging out with Hunter. Yeah, no, not hanging out with Hunter. Just shocked, just absolutely shocked that we live in a world where the only way results in Wayne County would be certified would be through the intimidation of the canvassers and the threatening of their children. Unbelievable. Well, we got a lot more to get into in the second half of the podcast today, but before we do, I want to, Mr. Bruce, let's put up my screen. I want to let you know that we are now the number 28th most popular podcast on Apple Podcasts. They just updated the rankings right before we went live. We are now number 28. We are knocking on the door of the Buck Sexton Show. And then after that, we will be taking on Newt Gingrich. So again, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. We are going to start running up into a wall as we keep climbing because we're going to start going up against shows that have a lot of listeners, right? But we've already taken out most of the mainstream media. We've taken out pretty much all of the mainstream media with the exception of a couple of shows that probably only are above us because they just published their weekly broadcast. So I want to make sure that everyone listening, watching, if you haven't already, please do make sure you go to Apple Podcasts. There's a link in the description. Go there and subscribe to the podcast. Leave us a good review and listen to it. If you don't have Apple Podcasts, there's other ways you can do it. Links are in the description. But please help us keep climbing up those rankings because we are literally every single day we are taking out another mainstream media voice and climbing up the ladder. We can't do it without you. I so very much appreciate it, but we want to go higher. So if you haven't already subscribed, if you haven't already downloaded, if you haven't already left us a review, please go to the link in the description for Apple Podcasts and do it. Okay, we can take off my screen. That was my little spiel. Really exciting news though, 28th in the country. Wow. So let's look at what Rashida Tlaib said about this. Let's put up image 5. This is Rashida Tlaib. Someone wrote on Twitter, I missed something involving Michigan tonight. Someone summarize the latest for me using one word and one emoji, please. Well, Rashida Tlaib broke the rule. She didn't use a word. She just used 3 emojis. It is a clown face, it is a fist punching the clown face, and then it is a brown man's basically pumped up bicep. Anyone listen to the audio version? Rashida Tlaib, House candidate of Michigan's 13th congressional district, in explaining what just went down in the Wayne County Board of Canvassers public meeting, said that black people, or I guess brown people, just punched the clowns. That is, again, people, that is what it looks like to bring the country together. That is what healing this nation, restoring the soul of the nation, according to Joe Biden. That's what it looks like. Thanks, Rashida. Excellent job. And you want to talk about why. Let's talk a little bit about what the discrepancies were. Let's go ahead and put up image four. This was published on Twitter by a woman named Sarah Eaglesfield, kind of talking about what some of these discrepancies look like. And just on one page of the discrepancies, you see that the same ballot was counted twice, another ballot was counted three times, and another ballot was counted four times. So how do you get to a position where the number of votes cast do not match the number of voters who were signed in? The way you do that is two ways: counting the same vote multiple times, or counting votes that do not have a voter attributed to them. So just in that one area, right, you have three ballots, each scanned two, three, four times. Yes, these are real discrepancies, because if that's what's caught, the allegation is, if you're able to catch it, then you know that there's much more, because you don't catch everything, right? You don't catch all the fraud. No crime gets 100% caught or prosecuted. It doesn't happen. But still, at the same time, we're led to believe that there is no fraud. Every time we find fraud, we're told, oh no, that might be fraud, but it's not widespread fraud. Aha! That's where they get you. Listen, Michigan's a mess, folks. Michigan is an absolute mess. You cannot certify these results. We know that Joe Biden, in the dead of night, overtook Donald Trump with a huge ballot dump that came out of nowhere. And now we're seeing that they weren't able to cover it up. And that's where they get sloppy, right? No matter what you do, people will get sloppy. When you have a bunch of people running multiple ballots through the same tabulators. And listen, we just talked about, remember Melissa Caroni, the Dominion IT worker at the Wayne County absentee ballot or ballot counting center? She signed an affidavit and said she watched people putting the same ballot through multiple times. The judge who read that said he didn't believe it. Again, let's put that image back up on the screen, Mr. Producer. Let's put image four back on the screen. She said that she saw multiple ballots being counted multiple times. Here is now the evidence. Not sure if it's the same area, but here is evidence of multiple ballots being counted multiple times. This is evidence that verifies her testimony in her affidavit, testimony that a judge threw out the other day because he said it wasn't believable. We are living in clown world, folks. This is upside down world. Up is down, down is up. People sign sworn affidavits and then evidence comes out supporting their claims. Oh, no. Nope, they're lying. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. I want to talk about this. Let's put up image six. This just came down yesterday. Actually, I guess it came down today. A pair in Colorado, two men, are now facing voter fraud charges after it was found that they tried to register, I believe some said 20,000, but this one's saying 8,000 homeless people. So they registered 8,000 homeless people to vote fraudulently, and they were caught. And they are now facing voter fraud charges. One of them was trying to run for mayor and using that voter fraud to get elected. Now, if you were to post that on Twitter, they'd say, this claim is disputed. Voter fraud does not happen. If two people in blue California are willing to go to jail to skew the results, to add 8,000 more votes to the tally, what do you think's going on in swing states? Really? Does anyone seriously think that if they're catching sloppy people and trying to get away with voter fraud in California, does anyone seriously believe they're not also doing it in the swing states? And the flip side of it, is California as blue as it is because of this kind of voter fraud? I mean, you put this on social media, it'll get throttled, it'll get censored because it's not true, even though there's now actual indictments. Oh, but that's not widespread voter fraud. See the difference? As we find individual instances of voter fraud, it changes from saying voter fraud doesn't happen to there's no evidence of widespread voter fraud. And now that we're finding widespread voter fraud, like we are in Georgia, which we'll talk about in a second, now that we're finding widespread voter fraud, they say, oh, well, it's not enough to affect the outcome of the election. It's exactly what we predicted, folks. These are the steps. We are now in step three. That next, they'll say, oh, well, you tossed out one state. Joe Biden still wins the Electoral College. I mean, this is their argument, folks. We've gone from there is no voter fraud to there is no widespread voter fraud, to now them claiming that it isn't enough to actually change results. Pretty incredible. pretty incredible. I want to talk about this. Let's put up image 7. This is allegedly an email from a Maricopa County official sent to, she says, her, she sent to herself, she BCC'd it, and she also sent it to other people on her team. Now, that email is a public email, so we're comfortable with sharing it. And her, all that information, you can find it on the Maricopa County Elections Board's website. So she writes this email: "Hi, amazing troubleshooters. First and foremost, I want to thank you all for supporting this historic election. From my seat in the command center today, I finally had a chance to marvel at the numbers and feel unbelievably grateful for all of you working so hard to support in support of democracy. Thanks isn't good enough, but thanks. Next, we've heard you and we know you're hearing issues and concerns about the Sharpie markers. Starting tomorrow, October 23rd, and through November 2nd, we are asking that clerks hand voters ballpoint pens," wrote that in all caps, "rather than markers. We need to use markers on election day, but for now through November 2nd, hand voters a ballpoint pen. You have plenty of pens in your supplies right now." Wow. I take that off the screen. So that is an election official in Maricopa County, Arizona, seemingly admitting that she has heard complaints about the Sharpies and recommending that in early voting, they use ballpoint pens, but then following up and saying they need to use Sharpies on election day. Now, why would someone do that? Now, some left is saying that, oh, well, if this is a true email, which again, we have not verified that email, but it's newsworthy enough to talk about. If that email is accurate, perhaps she means that the Sharpies are just, they're faster, right? People can fill out their ballot faster with a Sharpie. And we're going to have so many on election day. We need them to go as fast as possible. Okay, fine. That's an argument. But the fact that she said early voting will get ballpoint pens after admitting that they've heard some complaints about the Sharpies, early voting, we all know this by now, early voting favors Democrats. Day of election voting favors Republicans. So if this is an official saying that they've heard about the issues and concerns about Sharpie markers and saying, let's use ballpoint pens during the period where Democrats are expected to vote, and let's use the same Sharpie markers that we've heard issues and concerns about when the Republicans are going to turn out, that is a huge, huge problem. Like, I've never been all in on Sharpiegate, but if this email is real and verifiable, this is the smoking gun. Right, because if you hear about the issues and concerns about Sharpies, then the response is to get Sharpies out of there, not to allow the Democrat-heavy early voting to use ballpoint pens and the Republican-heavy election day voters to use the disputed ballpoints. So I wanted to bring that up just to let you know that there's still some concerns about Sharpiegate. Amazing, isn't it? Amazing. Absolutely amazing. What else we got? We talked about this on the show, but it's kind of making another appearance. Let's put up image 8. This was a affidavit signed by and sworn under oath by someone who was a poll worker. And he witnessed a number of things that are really, really concerning. He witnessed people writing down fraudulent driver's license numbers. So you need to have a driver's license or some kind of other voter ID to vote in Nevada. If people didn't have a driver's license, they basically help them cheat the system by getting them to sign up for an appointment to get a driver's license and then using that appointment number as the driver's license. So it's very easy, right? An audit of the vote should be able to cross-reference the driver's license numbers against the database and throw out any driver's license number that doesn't really exist. Because she said the system was, they would take the appointment registration number for the actual appointment to get a driver's license and then just add 2 zeros to the end of it. Well, that's really easy to get rid of all of those votes because those are fraudulent votes. Those are fraudulent votes. They did not prove their identity by providing a driver's license. That should be easily tossed out. This is someone who sworn under oath, under penalty of perjury, that they saw this. No, it's not believable. We can't believe anything that person is saying. It's good. Image 9. They also testified that on one day they would do laps around the building for exercise, and on approximately 2:15 p.m. on either October 28th or 29th, they walked in the parking lot of Redacted and personally witnessed two people handing multiple unopened mail-in ballot envelopes to two other people who then opened them and filled out the ballots against the side of the Biden-Harris van. the same two people who marked the ballots then put the marked ballots in an official pink and white envelopes. Those individuals were not poll workers. By the final lap, there were five or six additional people who had formed a human wall, which moved as I walked by, apparently in an attempt to block my view of the four people who were opening envelopes, marking ballots, and placing those ballots in the pink and white return envelopes. That is eyewitness. That's not hearsay. That is eyewitness testimony of someone who witnessed inside of a Biden-Harris campaign van. They were asked, what kind of van was it? They said it wasn't really like a plumber's van. It was more like a van you'd use to get to the airport, one that's designed to seat a lot of people in it. That person actually witnessed them taking unopened ballots that I guess they'd taken from somewhere else, opening them, filling them out, sealing them in the new envelope, and submitting them. It's in Nevada. And we also know in Nevada that they took the software used to verify signatures, at least in Clark County, and they reduced the sensitivity of it. This is a really big deal. Basically, you slide the ballot or the envelope under a camera. That camera takes a picture of your signature. It then uses software to compare the signature to the signature you have on file. And it'll say with a high degree of certainty, one way or another, whether or not the signatures match. And if it says they don't match, then it's supposed to go into another pile to be manually reviewed. And if they really don't match, then it's supposed to be thrown out. What they found in Nevada, in Clark County, was that the system was too strict. The system was too strict, and it was basically flagging everything. That should be a red flag. If everything is being flagged as not a legitimate signature, maybe you should stop what you're doing and check to see whether the machine is actually correct in that. But no, instead of doing that, instead of going through those signatures, they reduced the sensitivity of those machines. So instead of being at whatever percentage it was, they reduced it down to 40%. That's a big deal because those machines should have been certified. And what that means is someone should have gone in, seen that the machine was working as described, and that's supposed to not get changed, not get altered between that certification date and the election day. If they, on election day, changed the sensitivity of the machine to allow more ballots to go through, that's a huge red flag. And when you know there are people in the parking lot fraudulently filling out ballots and presumably also fraudulently signing their names on the ballots, is it any surprise that they were able to get through? Listen, they're fraudulently filling out the ballots, illegally submitting them, and then tampering with the machinery to make it easier for fraudulent signatures to be accepted. I mean, what am I missing here? What am I missing here? It seems like an open shut case. Not to prove that fraud exists, but at least to get discovery. And as we mentioned on another podcast, when you sue someone, when you sue for something, you're looking for basically relief, right? You're looking for them to say, okay, let's pump the brakes. The Trump campaign is looking for a judge to say, okay, let's pump the brakes on the certification and take some time to look at this. We want to get this right. The judges have all refused to do that, but they've also refused to even grant the Trump campaign or any of these other legal teams filing suit. They've also refused to give them discovery, which would allow them to look into the records and say, yep, according to the security camera footage, at this moment of this day, they changed the sensitivity. The affidavits that we have are correct. Every single ballot that was processed after that has to either be reprocessed at a higher sensitivity or thrown out, right? That's what discovery would give you. But they're refusing to give discovery, instead requiring that anyone who wants to challenge the election results come to the table with all of the evidence they would get through discovery. That's not how the legal process is supposed to work. You're supposed to provide enough evidence to at least call something into question to the point where a judge will allow you to probe more, allow you to take depositions, allow you to look at documents, right? And then the case goes forward. It's either you either win or you lose. But they're trying to throw everything out so they can't even get discovery. They can't even look at these documents. They're saying all these affidavits. They're basically saying that everyone who submitted an affidavit is lying to you. Everyone who submitted an affidavit is just lying. Pretty incredible stuff. Let's go to my screen. Lynn Wood, he is an attorney who famously represented Nick Sandman, the Covington Catholic kid, who was defamed, slandered in the media. And he got his client a lot of money. He has now joined the Trump campaign. He just filed a lawsuit in Georgia. And he's representing a plaintiff, an individual residing in Fulton County, Georgia, who's qualified as a registered elector. So they're trying to find standing by finding people who would be electors if Donald Trump was to win. Because half the fight in these court cases is trying to convince a judge that you have standing. It can't just be Joe Schmo who says, hey, I disagree. You have to find someone who was harmed. So what we're seeing with a lot of these newest legal challenges is we're seeing that they're going after and they're getting the electors, the people who, if Donald Trump wins the state, will go to the electoral college on his behalf, saying, yes, I am harmed because if these results were legitimate, I would go to the electoral college. But by defrauding the state, they are denying me the ability to go to the electoral college. Therefore, I, the elector, are harmed. So that's what we're seeing a lot of these latest court challenges using the electors as the plaintiffs to make sure they have standing. So one of the claims, and I'm not going to scroll through it because it's very, very long, 29 pages. But one of the claims that Lynn Wood is making is they have identified ballots in Georgia that have no crease marks. Think about that. They have identified absentee mail-in ballots that have no crease marks. I'm going to take it off the screen. Why is that important? Because there's two ways to submit an absentee ballot legally. The first is through the mail. The second is to drop it off in a box or a collection facility or drop it off at your local polling place, right? But in either event, you have to fold the envelope up and put it, you have to fold the ballot up and put it in an envelope. If the ballot doesn't have any noticeable crease marks, there is no evidence it was ever folded. There's no evidence it was ever put in an envelope, and therefore there's no evidence it was ever submitted legally. Think about this. And it's technically possible, I guess. In a week, the paper could be completely flattened, so you wouldn't see it, but it's highly unlikely. Highly, highly unlikely. What's more likely the case is that someone had a pile of unprocessed ballots who they then filled in and tried to put into the count. If a ballot does not have a crease mark, that is a sign that it was not submitted legally. Someone explain to me how you can put a ballot in an envelope without any identifiable crease marks. Any evidence that was ever folded. You can't. You can't. And that's the new legal filing from Lynn Wood. Again, the attorney who got all that money for Nick Sandman, the Covington Catholic boy who was defamed for allegedly smirking at a Native American man. He almost had his life ruined for smirking at a Native American man in front of the Supreme Court. I'm going through because I'm going to see if he has a picture of the ballot. I think he might have a picture. He has a lot of exhibits in this. Give me a second. I'm scrolling down to see if we can find where he has it. He has a lot of affidavits. Come on. Do they have it? I don't think they have it. I'll keep looking at it and see if they have it. It's just incredible. There's just so much evidence of fraud. That's not an irregularity, folks. A ballot that does not have a crease mark or any evidence that they were ever folded is not an irregularity. That is fraud. You can explain that. If it was never folded, it was never actually put into a machine. I'm sorry, it was never actually put into an envelope. And you say, oh yeah, well maybe the tabulator did it now. Anyone who's ever sent something through the mail knows how hard it is to flatten a letter, let alone a ballot that is a little thicker piece of paper. Everyone who's ever sent anything through the mail knows how hard it is to flatten something that's already been folded and put into an envelope. I'm just trying to see if, just scrolling to the end, seeing if maybe they have it. If they don't, they don't. It's just incredible. Absolutely incredible. And it's being stolen right in front of us. And again, I'll say in Facebook, make sure you check out our Fax Blast today. Help us stop the steal. Put pressure on Congress. I'll put it again in the YouTube channel as well. The canvassers in Wayne County, Georgia, is still planning on certifying their vote at the end of the week. Even though, I mean, yesterday they caught one county trying to manufacture out of thin air over 9,000 votes for Joe Biden. They said, oh yeah, we accidentally added another zero to the count. They actually wanted you to believe that Joe Biden in one county got 10,000 votes and Donald Trump got 13. I mean, we were wrong. It wasn't 10,000. It was Joe Biden got 1,000 votes and Donald Trump got 13. Wait, no, that's not any better. Does anyone seriously think that Donald Trump only got 13? And not in that county, in that precinct. Does anyone seriously think that? Come on, it's like when Mitt Romney got zero votes in the majority in like 59 some odd precincts in Philadelphia in 2012. No one actually believes it. I'm still scrolling to see if they have it. I don't think he has it. Well, if we find it, I'll put it on the podcast tomorrow. But how can you certify Georgia? How can you certify Georgia if you can't even verify? They're finding thousands of votes. Yesterday, they found thousands of votes that had not been correctly tabulated by the machine. So when we criticize Georgia's recount, know what it is. What Georgia's recounting, Georgia is recounting the votes as they were tabulated, as they came out of the machines. They're finding thousands of votes that allegedly got eaten by the machine and never got pumped out. Well, that's a huge red flag. Because if you're just going to count the allegedly fraudulent votes, all you're going to get is a more accurate count of fraudulent votes. You have to audit the machines, you have to re-canvas the ballots, and you have to trace them back to before a machine touched them. Because it's very easy for a machine to change results, to change counts. You have to go back to before a machine touched them, and you have to fully audit and fully re-canvas the entire process, not just count the votes as they came out. Wait, do we have this? No, I thought I had the picture. I'm still looking for that picture of the uncreased ballot. I thought maybe I'd find it. It's just incredible. And we know that the Trump campaign is now going to pay for their recount in Wisconsin. So 4 years ago, when the Green Party candidate, when the Green Party wanted to, Jill Stein wanted to challenge the election results in Wisconsin, and she wanted a recount, it cost her campaign about $2 million. That was the cost to recount every ballot in Wisconsin. So this year, the Trump campaign says, yeah, I want a recount in Wisconsin. So Wisconsin crunched the numbers. It's okay. Yeah, in 2016, it cost $2 million to do a recount. This year, however, if you want to recount the ballots, it's going to cost you almost $8 million. They increased it by four times. Why? Was it COVID-19? We need bigger venues. We need more space in between, right? We need all this. COVID-19 requires that it be four times as expensive as it was in 2016. The Trump campaign is going to pay for it. They announced today that they are filing for the recount. And as long as it gets in today by 5 p.m. local time, I believe, hopefully they don't pull a Kanye and walk in 1 minute after the time and say, oops, sorry, we messed up. Now we don't have to pay. 5 p.m. local time. That's the deadline. Trump campaign says they're going to do it. Unbelievable. I mean, the fact that they're charging them four times as much. But again, a recount just means you're recounting potentially fraudulent votes. You need an audit. You need a full canvas, a re-canvas. And you need to actually go back and look at signature verification. We look at Georgia. Georgia this year is showing, I think it's less than 0.5% of absentee ballots were thrown out for either being fraudulent or being having mistakes, whatnot. Less than 0.5% were spoiled. That's the term, spoiled. 4 years ago, it was like between 3 and 3.5%. So right there, that calls into question the entire process, because if the actual canvassers, if the actual counters are giving people the benefit of the doubt that they don't deserve, listen, everyone has the right to vote, but if you don't vote correctly, your vote doesn't count. If you don't sign the ballot, your vote doesn't count. If you don't submit it properly, it doesn't count. What we're seeing in Georgia, what we're seeing in Pennsylvania, what we're seeing in Wisconsin, what we're seeing in Michigan is a much lower rate of spoilage, where ballots are not being spoiled at a rate that you would predict based on not just the last presidential election, but previous elections before that. You expect to see around 3% spoilage. When you don't, that is a discrepancy, that is an irregularity that needs to be explained. If you can explain away and say, no, listen, everyone just really, really paid attention and wanted to make sure that everything was completely accurate, that's one thing. But if there are canvassers deliberately ignoring the fact that signatures don't match, deliberately ignoring that the ballots don't have the proper postmark or the proper signatures on them, completely ignoring that the ballot doesn't even have a crease, right? If they're doing that, then that explains why such a higher percentage of absentee ballots were accepted this time around as compared to 4 years ago. And when you see that, when you see so many more absentee ballots, you expect that number to still be high, right? Because we're also being told that this was the first time that most people voted by absentee. So we're led to believe that the first time they voted by absentee, they also did so at a success rate much higher than we've ever seen before. No, people who do things the first time tend to make more mistakes. They tend to slip up more, right? If you had more people than ever submit absentee ballot, you'd actually expect there to be a higher percentage of ballot spoilage, because they're not used to this. They don't do this every election. But no, this is ridiculous. We're led to believe that not only did everyone submit an absentee ballot, not only in Philadelphia did absentee ballot registration for people 90 years old or over skyrocket to the highest recorded level ever. We're led to believe that they all did it perfectly. No questions, no reason to ask any questions, no reason to scrutinize it. They voted perfectly. Oh, and by the way, if you're in Philadelphia, you want to go back and look at the envelopes to make sure they did everything properly. Oops, we destroyed them. But no, take our word for it. Even though we expect to see 3.5% spoilage, it's less than 0.5% spoilage. Nope, pay no attention to the disgusting discrepancy. I'm laughing, but it's not funny, right? These are sick, sick people who truly think they can get away with this. So I'm heartened by the fact that the Trump campaign is still fighting this. I'm heartened by the fact that we have attorneys like Lynn Wood who are filing lawsuits. I'm really encouraged by the fact that Electoral College electors are filing suit because they have a really good leg to stand on in terms of getting standing. Right, they are being harmed by this. If the wrong slate of electors is being fraudulently certified, they have standing to fight against it. But it's just, I saw another report in Michigan that they're going to mental health facilities, like asylums. And they're finding that people actually had ballots requested for them. And they're actually finding that some of them were turned in. All for Democrats, of course. But it's so scummy. And we're led to believe that Joe Biden, the most racist Democrat that's been put up since probably LBJ, for being honest. The most racist Democrat since LBJ got more votes than any other candidate in history. Now, he underperformed Hillary Clinton in every metro area except for Milwaukee, Detroit, Philadelphia, and Atlanta. No. He was so inspirational that everyone over the age of 90 in Philadelphia just spontaneously registered to vote. No. Come on. That all of the mental asylums in Michigan had 100% absentee ballot request rate? No, come on. Come on, really? Of course it's fraud. It's happening right in front of our eyes. And the more we uncover, the more Democrats try and explain away. And we saw it yesterday in Wayne County, Michigan, the most egregious case, when they found that 70% of the precincts didn't match up the number of votes versus the number of voters. GOP refused to certify it, and the angry Democrat mob threatened them, threatened their children, and forced them to surrender. This is going to go to Congress, folks. This will go to Congress. Congress will have to certify these results. And the question is, are we going to let them? Can anyone in their right mind certify these results? Listen, if Joe Biden won legitimately, he won legitimately. But this nation is too great. A republic is too significant to allow someone to take office with such a large asterisk next to their name. The American people deserve to know this election was legitimate, and we deserve to have all these irregularities explained, all of these discrepancies rectified, and all of these allegations of fraud either proven or disproven. It's too important to just rush this thing. So again, we have a link in the description if you want to join our campaign to put pressure on Congress, the United States Congress, to stop the steal. Don't certify these fraudulent results. Check that out, that link in the description on Facebook. I also posted the link a couple times in YouTube as well. Well, that's going to be it for this edition of the podcast. Again, let's go ahead and put up my screen again, Mr. Producer. We are now the number 28th most popular podcast on Apple Podcasts. Couldn't have done it without your guys' help, but if you aren't already subscribed to us on Apple Podcasts, if you have an iPhone, an iPad, or a MacBook, make sure you check out the link in the description. Subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts. Leave us a good review because we're still getting trolls reviewing us. So subscribe, leave us a good review, and download and listen to us there. Help us rise through the rankings. I like Newt Gingrich, but if it's his turn to fall, it's his turn to fall. So help us rise to the rankings. Help us take over those top spots. If you don't have an iPhone, iPad, or a MacBook, you can also find us on the Google Play Store, Spotify, Pandora, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, or Podbean. All places you can find the audio edition of the podcast. Do so, please, please, please. If you can't watch us live on Facebook or YouTube, Monday through Friday, 2 p.m. Eastern, you can listen to us as you go about your day. And make sure that you like and follow our Facebook page as well. On Facebook, link in the description. And on YouTube, we have another link for you to make sure you subscribe and hit that bell for notifications if you're watching on YouTube. Very, very important. You can text FREEDOM to 89517. You'll get a text alert when we go live. Facebook and YouTube play games with that a little bit. So make sure you do that. There's also a link to receive our email newsletter. And we are on Parler at Conservative Daily. Follow us, we'll follow you back. I am also on Parler at Max McGuire. Follow me and I will, I guess, follow back too. I'm doing a lot of following back. there's a lot of follow-backs happening. Also, I want to let everyone know that we're going to have, again, this weekend, my story time hour. We'll have a Saturday podcast. And in that Saturday podcast, we are going to talk about the Battle of Athens. No, not Greece. We're talking about the Battle of Athens, where World War II vets literally took the streets, seized weapons from the National Guard Armory to stop corrupt politicians from stealing their elections. So don't miss that. That's going to be on Saturday as well. Joe is out today. He couldn't be here. He's dealing with his whole legal thing. Our producer, Josh, is back. So everyone in the comment section, say good job, Josh. We appreciate him being back as well. Well, that's going to be it for this edition of the podcast. Again, my name is Max McGuire. Remember that the fight to take back our country clearly isn't over, but the only way we win is if we stand and fight together.